Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, my dear friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Now, seriously, your brain masseur is a faithful member of the American resistance against the communist occupation of the White House and Capitol. Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lanterns of the church belfry arch that signal the enemy is on the march or on the run. Hey, look at him run! Woo! In 2010, we took a little tip from the Ronald Reagan playbook and we broke old Teddy's grip. We took a little ride in Scotty's pickup truck and we left those commie dimwits sinking in Obama's muck. Yeah, well, anyway. Then we fired our vote, but those commies kept it coming. There wasn't nigh as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more, and they began a-running. Discombobulated, mystified, and vertigo. Yeah, okay. I'll keep my day job. Anyway, somebody recorded the White House response to all of this. But you know how it is. Republican Scott Brown won Democrat Ted Kennedy's Massachusetts Senate seat, and the dimwits didn't see it coming. Really, no one did, although we did begin to feel hopeful over the past month or so as he began to close that the gap there in the polls dramatically. So Coakley called in the biggest guns she could. Even Obama made a personal appearance on her behalf. You probably did see the clip of him with his best challenging demeanor. What a stout countenance he has. His call to arms, you know, seriously. I mean, you could see an implied threat of displeasure from the one if they lost that seat. Well, folks, there is no question at all that Obama believed with all the heart he has. And admittedly, isn't much. But with all the heart he has, he believed he was going to be able to ride in on the proverbial right horse and to save the day for the Kennedy legacy. And now he's whining again. You know, folks, since George McGovern got buried in a Nixon landslide in 1972 and cried like a little baby on national TV, I have not seen a candidate that is so much of a whiner. Obama just couldn't go 24 hours before he had to find some way to shift the blame to Bush. You probably heard Obama's assessment of his own failure to rescue the Coakley campaign. I mean, you know, his excuse for losing the Kennedy seat to a rascally Republican, as Rush would call him, he said he understood the phenomena well. He said that what swept Brown into office in Massachusetts was the same wave of discontented voters that swept him into office in 08. Wait, here we go. Here's the exact quote as I heard it with my own too recently doctor-approved ears. Ha! Quote, "The same thing that swept Scott Brown into office swept me into office. People are angry and they are frustrated, not just because of what's happened in the last year or 2 years, but what's happened over the last 8 years," end quote. Here's a translation, by the way. It's Bush's fault, everybody. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's Bush's fault. And you listen to me for a lot of reasons, but one of them is because, you know, I'm going to bring out a little something in the way of penetrating analysis that you've come to appreciate. So, Obama's latest whine about Bush is very, very revealing. Note, in this assessment of what gave Brown the victory in Massachusetts, Obama reveals, rather surprisingly, incisive insight into his own victory in 08. Analyzing Obama speak is delicate work, so you've got to listen carefully. First, you must appreciate the absurdity of Obama's statement, and although many have already taken in hand to bring this out, to appreciate my analysis of Obama's thinking, you'll need first to be reapprised of just how amazing a thing it is that a Republican running on, well, clearly articulated conservative values could win in Massachusetts, and more importantly, win a seat that has been held by the quintessential liberal family in American politics for the last, I think it's something like 50 years, ever since 1953 or somewhere in there. In other words, Brown won the so-called Kennedy seat by purposely positioning himself in opposition to almost everything Kennedy stood for. He ran against Kennedy politics, and he won a seat held for 47 years by Ted Kennedy. Furthermore, to highlight the absurdity of Obama's assessment, you know, that Brown won because voters were angry at Bush. Well, Brown ran to the right of Bush. I mean, anyone listening to Brown's campaign, his speeches and so on, or reading his campaign literature, his platform, would have to agree that Brown was far closer to Bush than he was to Obama. Well, that's for sure. And look, even down to waterboarding, which Brown approves, or at least admits is not torture. However, on immigration and the economy, Brown made noises that positioned him to the right of Bush. I mean, more conservative than Bush, which is why Brown often said, quote, "I'm not a Bushy," end quote. So for Obama to suggest Brown won because voters were angry at Bush is absurd, unless you think like a pompous Euro-aristo snob, complete with disdain for guys who drive trucks. Now, what is that about anyway? I mean, what is with these people and their profiling? Always profiling. Gun-toting folks clinging to God and all that. So first of all, for a Republican running as a conservative Republican, not a country club blue blood snob, but as a truck driving down to earth, common sense everyman candidate who opposed virtually everything that Kennedy, the Kennedys and Obama stood for, and won in a state where, hey, only 12% are registered Republican. Did you hear that? Only 12% are registered Republican in that state. I mean, the only place on the planet with fewer Republicans is Obama's cabinet. And by the way, in a race where Coakley spent over $2 million as compares with Brown's, one-fourth of that amount, a little over $600,000. Anyway, no sane person will deny this was the upset of the century. A political earthquake equaled only by the tragedy in Haiti. And more on that and on Pat Robertson's comment on it later, perhaps in tomorrow's show. Anyway, a political earthquake that, by the way, did not start with Massachusetts. Oh, no, my friends, the epicenter of this earthquake is the White House and Capitol, where a gang of communists are attempting to undo the Declaration of Independence. I mean, to reverse it, to capsize the Constitution, to overturn representative republic government. And in the Capitol, where their fellow comrades are acting like dictators, ramrodding a health care bill down our throats, using all sorts of dirty tricks, making outrageous deals with the union bosses and with Nebraska. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, where you'll find the epicenter of this earthquake is there in the White House, in the Oval Office, and in the Capitol. And it has already begun to shake down long-held democratic strongholds. Hallelujah. For example, New Jersey voters threw out their Democratic incumbent governor and seated a religious, pro-life, pro-marriage, tough-on-crime, fiscally conservative Republican. And that in a state that has not voted for a conservative president since Reagan's second run. A state that Obama carried by 6 points, hello? Oh, Republican Christie beat Democrat Corzine by, are you ready for this? 17 points, my friends. 17 points in New Jersey, a conservative beats out a liberal. Unbelievable. That hits the Richter scale for this earthquake at about 6 or 7. The quake is rocking Nebraska, too. Senator Ben Nelson won his Nebraska seat by 28 points, which by anybody's standard is a very comfortable margin, to be sure. When he decided to vote for the Senate health care bill, however, he has watched his job approval ratings drop 42%. And what is worse, his disapproval rating has hit 48%. Oh, mercy. And by the way, to get this in perspective, note that another Nebraskan senator, Johans, you know, the one who voted against the health care bill, well, his approval rating has soared to 63%. So, you know, maybe health care is something of an issue to voters in Nebraska and elsewhere. So my point here is that the epicenter of this political quake is Obama's failed communist coup, especially in the health care area. And Democrat strongholds are falling down, falling down, falling down. Now back to Obama's revealing quote. His assessment is that it's just that the people are angry. You know, they are voting emotionally. old Tingle Legs Matthews picked this up from his beloved president-elect, and he says the people are angry in general. They voted no in general, says Matthews, not against anything in particular. It's just that the voting public is in a negative mood right now. That's how they're assessing this. Now, folks, this is an amazing admission on the part of the Democrats, and they always pull this kind of thing, you know. But do you see what Obama is admitting when he says that what, quote, swept Scott Brown into office swept me into office, end quote? He is admitting that when the people voted for Obama, they were not voting in favor of his policies or his politics. I mean, that's what he said about Scott Brown. Scott Brown wasn't voted on because of his policies or politics. And Scott Brown got voted in the same way Obama did, right? Think about it. He's admitting that his own election was a result of people reacting negatively to Bush and not positively to him. And there's some truth to that, by the way. When you're analyzing these sorts of things, you have to remember it's very multi-layered. But allow me to offer some critical analysis here. In the Obama campaign, remember that Bush had been demonized for 8 years by the left, but that is not what hurt him. What hurt Bush was his tendency to swerve left in some policy areas and to reach so far across the aisle that he would sometimes lose his balance and fall on the left side of some issues. On immigration, for example, he just did not get it. He missed the nation's frustration with that issue and failed to articulate his plan from the right. Or in other words, he failed to position himself as acting on behalf of the concerns of conservatives, when, in my own analysis of his first plan, I really think he was attempting to address many of those concerns. If only he had articulated it more clearly how his plan addressed those concerns. He failed to do that. Of course, there were some concerns he was neglecting, which also was a real problem. But anyway, my point here is that Bush went left on immigration, and it hurt him. He also went left on the economy, at least on the spending side. He kept true to his principles on the issue of taxes, but when it came to spending, well, he had bad alignment in his political wheels and steering, and he kept kind of veering leftward, you might notice, conceding to the Democrats' insatiable appetite for spending, spending, spending in order to get funding he needed for the military and for the war and stuff like this. I'll tell you, my point is this. The reason these yahoos can get away with their constant lying about how unpopular Bush was is because the left hated him just because, and many on the right were disgusted with him because of his tendency to track to the left. Hence, you know how it is. He was getting creamed from both sides. Obama never articulated any clear vision for America, except a vacuous, emotionally charged call for change. You know, a change he never really explained. Just change and hope. I'm telling you, folks, that if we had had a Scott Brown-type conservative running against Obama, well, things would be very different. McCain was a lame presidential candidate. I mean, he was. Let's just face it. He could not rally his party, nor could he rally the nation behind him. There you have it. Obama had the advantage of being the hopeful first black president in America. And with all other things considered, this became the main reason he got elected. And I'm all for that. You've heard me say it many times. The one thing I like about the guy and this whole thing is that, yes, we did elect a black man to the presidency. I think that's great. It's just too bad it had to be this fella. However, anyway, in Massachusetts, the people were motivated by specific issues. In exit polls, it was made very clear. Health care was on the top of their concerns. The people were angry that the dimwits in Washington, by the way, dimwit, the Democratic-witted person, all right, not D-I-M-W-I-T-S, D-E-M hyphen W-I-T. Anyway, in Washington, were obviously trying to railroad an unpopular bill into law against the will of the people. That is what they told us in exit polls. Second to that was the economy, I believe. And then came concern about national security and taxes and so on. And on taxes, by the way, the Massachusetts voters favored Brown 87% to 13% for Coakley. Anyway, there you have it, as my dearly beloved Dove would say. And I've got to take a short break here in just a moment. If you are as tired as I am of this president-elect constantly whining about Bush and blaming Bush for his failures, if you're sick and tired of your liberal friends pompously throwing out that line about the, quote, failed policies of the past 8 years, end quote, well, here is what you do. You say, name the policy. Name the policy. They won't. They'll start spewing out stats about economic downturn, jobless rate, housing crash. And that's when you say, wait a minute, I asked you to tell me what Bush policy caused these things. Name it. Name the Bush policy that caused these problems. And then you've got them on the ropes. And you can begin to pummel them into submission. If they have any real honesty about them. Most of these liberals don't know because they don't listen. The liberal policies caused all of these problems. The reason conservatives are disgusted with Bush is because he capitulated to liberal policies that created these problems. Hello, listen, everything that Bush did wrong was the result of cooperating with Obama and his ilk in the House of Representatives and Senate. Forced them to name the Bush policy that generated these problems. And if they have enough actual knowledge of facts, then when they do name this or that policy, you'll be able to show them that policy was advanced by liberals in both houses of Congress. Those policies that created our problems were all hatched in the hearts of the liberals. Every Bush misstep was a step toward the left. Conservative principles and policies did not create this mess. Liberal policies did. In summary, for this segment, the fact is Obama's effort to blame Bush for his failure to keep Massachusetts reveals his own arrogant disdain for the voting public. I mean, he thinks they're nothing but a bunch of an emotionally driven angry mob and not sensibly or intelligently engaged. Well, you know what? He's wrong. And he is about to get a lesson in you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time. But you cannot fool all the people all the time. I'll be right back.
Is going to church like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Has your faith made the difference you're looking for? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, a lighthouse for the family. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory. If you're looking for unvarnished, plain Bible preaching that tells it like it is without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887. For more information, see our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, massaging the gray matter with light of truth therapy, a faithful member of the American resistance to the communist coup taking place in Washington, rejoicing with you in the latest victory of common sense. I speak of Obama's defeat in Massachusetts. Now, about Scott Brown, I surprised a friend recently when I was less than electrified with enthusiasm in my rejoicing over the Brown. Well, at that time, the state had not yet voted. I mean, it was just a little before, a couple of days before the election, and we were talking about his meteoric flash in the last few weeks when I responded by saying, well, we'll see what we have after he gets to the Senate. My friend raised an eyebrow, then two, and I'm being somewhat facetious, but really he seemed surprised. I explained that Brown is a guy. You are aware, are you not, that Brown did vote for the Massachusetts health care plan signed into law by Mitt Romney, and that Massachusetts health care plan is not all that far from the one that's being looked at in Congress right now. Listen, folks, there's no question that the voters of Massachusetts were particularly concerned about the health care issue, and that Brown made it clear he would vote against it if elected, and that is a major reason people voted for him. However, I watched an interview with Brown where he was challenged by NBC's Meredith Vieira, I guess that's how you pronounce her last name, and in which she challenged him with one of those typical liberal-type jabs at the conscience that, frankly, unless you are really clear in your core principles and comfortable with your convictions, these sorts of emotional-based jabs often have the effect of making conservatives blink and stutter and stammer and go about looking for a way to respond in a manner that will make them look good. It's pretty pathetic, really. But she asked him about his call to Ted Kennedy's widow after the election and wondered whether it was awkward since, quote, you plan to do whatever you can to derail what Ted Kennedy called the cause of his lifetime, which is health care reform, end quote. All right. Now, his response was clearly an effort to avoid being made to look bad, to look like a meanie, meanie bad guy beating up an old man's dream, a dead man's dream for that matter. And I guess if you are in Massachusetts, well, you probably don't want to look like somebody who wants to besmirch the memory of Ted Kennedy. I mean, he does have some fans there. However, listen to what he said. Quote, Scott Brown, by the way, quote, well, first of all, you're misrepresented. I never said I was going to do everything I can to stop health care. I believe that everybody should have health care. It's just a question of how we do it, end quote. Now, I don't know if you caught that, but he made this point a couple of times in the interview. Quote, I believe everybody should have health care, end quote. Well, of course, that's dumb. Who thinks people should not have health care? But what he means is later on he said in the same interview, quote, I believe everybody should have insurance, end quote. So put it together. He believes everybody should have health care insurance. In a speech that he gave on the 20th, Scott Brown reminded his listeners that he had himself voted for universal health care in his own state. The same universal health care that is now about to bankrupt Massachusetts. Scott Brown is proud of this vote. He defends it. He claims the Massachusetts plan is different from the communist takeover plan being debated in Congress right now. But the fact is, on the core issues of concern that we have with this bill, really the Massachusetts plan and the one being looked at right now are not that different. During his campaign, Brown focused on the voters' concern about the communist plan being rammed, rotted into law by the Capitol. But now that he is elected to the Senate, he has already begun to backpedal. He said in a recent speech, Thursday, he reminded us all that, quote, I voted for health care here, end quote, referring to the Massachusetts plan that is a universal health care program, one in which the people are compelled by law to purchase health insurance and that is funded by taxpayer money subsidizing the costs to the taxpayers. Isn't that ridiculous? Look, Brown has said that his concern with the current communist bill being put together in Washington right now is that Massachusetts already has a universal health care plan and does not need this, and that it will simply cost his constituencies more and yet provide less. That's his argument, folks. You gotta listen. In other words, cork your sparkling apple cider, boys and girls. Brown ain't down with us on health care issue, at least not like I know you want to believe that he is. But now listen, this does not change the fact that Massachusetts voters' willingness to vote for Scott Brown to take the seat held by Kennedy's for more than 50 years, well, it is very significant. No question about that. I mean, that Scott Brown is conservative enough to say out loud that he's for waterboarding, or at least that he does not regard it as torture, and he's pro-life, by the way, and he says that he, quote, personally believes marriage is for one man and one woman, end quote, which when they talk like that, the weasel words, you know, that means he's willing to support a law that allows homosexual marriage. He just isn't personally for it. I don't know if they just answer the question they know is really being asked. But anyway, it is certain that Scott Brown's election indicates a major shift in the political landscape for Massachusetts and signals a nationwide realignment. Now, who would have thought Massachusetts would elect a truck-driving Scott Brown to take the place of limousine-riding, champagne-sipping Massachusetts aristocrat, baby finger in the air, Teddy, remember Mary Jo Kopechne Kennedy. Remember, folks, as I conclude, what happened in Massachusetts is not Bush's fault. When they pull that, you insist that your friends tell you what Bush policies created the problems they pretend are all Bush's fault. In every case, and I did say every case, I've looked at it, you will see that the Bush policies that hurt America were liberal policies, not conservative ones. The irony is that Obama has succeeded at creating the impression that Bush created the problems, and he is here to clean them up, when in fact, it was liberal policies supported by Obama and his cohorts that caused the problems. And now the people are beginning to wake up to the fact that Obama is an anti-American closet Marxist communist who has surrounded himself with fellow communist comrades, I mean, to the extent at least that he has been able to do it without getting caught, as he was caught with Van Jones. My point here today is that the epicenter of this earthquake is liberal Washington, and it is shaking down Democrat strongholds all over America, and I mean all over. In the last 5 days, Newt tells us, a poll, quote, has shown Tim Griffin beating incumbent Democrat Vic Snyder by 17 points in Arkansas's second congressional district, end quote. Now, you're not likely to be real up on Arkansas politics unless you live in the area, but this is amazing. Snyder has held that seat since 1998. He was elected in 1998 and has won 5 re-elections to the congressional seat. And I understand that the surge in popularity for Tim Griffin has encouraged Mr. Snyder to drop out of the race. In Cincinnati, the Democratic incumbent is in trouble. The Republican challenger is up 17 points over the over that Democrat incumbent. 17 points! In Michigan, where Republican Congressman Tim Walberg lost his seat to Democrat Mark Schauer in the last election, well, guess what? Michigan is having a change of heart. Now Republican Walberg is leading in polls against the incumbent Democrat by 7 points. Now, here in California, Boxer's in trouble. No kidding, Boxer. who made the asinine comment in response to a question about when does a baby have a right to life, said when it is taken home from the hospital. Imagine that cold abstraction of a woman is falling in the polls in California. And all of this is coming primarily from objections to Obama's health care scam. The people do not trust him or the dimwits in Washington right now. So what will Obama do? Well, you have noticed that after all his talk about transparency, he has not come out and called on the Congress or the Senate to assist him in fulfilling his pledge to have these bills posted 72 hours before they're voted on and to have no backroom behind closed door deals. You know, that saying that all negotiations would be presented on C-SPAN and all that nonsense. You notice he has not made any public statement calling on his cohorts in the Capitol to be open and honest in their work on this health care reform bill. Well, now that he has been slapped by the Massachusetts voters, he is talking another tune. He's calling on the Senate to expeditiously seat the new senator and not ramrod a bill through. And yet, behind closed doors, you can bet he is instigating the current effort to do exactly that. These weasels are going to push it through anyway, you watch. They are so arrogant. They're trying to put together what they call a reconciliation that will allow the Congress to pass the bill with only 51 votes so they can push the health care bill through into law in spite of the outcry we have been hearing from all over the country against this thing. You know, we're now something like, 60 plus percent of the population does not want this bill, nor do they want the $1.7 trillion bill that comes with it. Well, anyway, nevertheless, we can rejoice, at least, that we have another pro-life senator up there. But so far as health care reform is concerned, we don't have as much of a friend in Brown as you might have been led to believe. The plan he voted for has already led to increased corruption in Massachusetts, and that will always happen when you start throwing taxpayer money as a subsidy to support any private concern. It always leads to price gouging, inefficiency, runaway costs, and then our other corruptions, and then the government intrusion into personal health care decisions, oh my soul, that are simply none of their business. And then politicians start using health care to advance all sorts of political agendas that are actually unrelated to health care. You know, like gun control. Been asked by your doctor how many guns you have lately? So let the free market be truly free, with regulation only necessary to correct criminal behavior, such as fraud and so on. And we'll have universal health care virtually. The prices will be driven down and health care insurance rates will become more and more reasonable. So even if somehow the dictators in Washington are stopped from pushing health care reform down our throats, even if Brown gets a chance to participate in health care reform, you know, we're still looking at a Massachusetts-style, quote, universal health care, end quote, bill that will bust America just like it's busting Massachusetts right now. Well, I've lit the lights in the belfry arch to signal the enemy's on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. Let me know you're out there. Call in and say lights on if you agree. If lights off if you disagree, you can reach me by email. I'll go to santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the contact us button. Write as long a message to me as you like. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way.
Jesus followed and first told Christians about 12 years after the cross. After the last apostle died, a controversy over baptism divided the churches. One group practiced infant baptism and became the Catholic Church. The others rejected infant baptism and became known as Anabaptists because of their policy to rebaptize believers coming from churches whose teachings were contrary to the Bible. Millions died as martyrs under the name Baptist. It is a worthy name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Federavia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347 7987 for more information.